So we continue. It's 1937 now, eh? It's January 8th. That was on Friday. On Friday morning, as I was going to chapel to attend the Holy Mass, I suddenly saw a huge juniper tree on the pavement, and in it a horrible cat who, looking angry at me, blocked my way to the chapel. One whisper of the name of Jesus dissipated all that. I offered the whole day for dying sinners. During Holy Mass, I felt the closeness of the Lord in a special way. After Holy Communion, I turned my gaze with trust toward the Lord and told him, "Jesus, I so much desire to tell you something." And the Lord looked at me with love and said, "And what is it that you desire to tell me?" "Jesus, I beg you, by the inconceivable power of your mercy, that all the souls who will die today escape the fire of hell, even if they have been the greatest sinners." Today is Friday, the memorial of your bitter agony on the cross. Because your mercy is inconceivable, the angels will not be surprised at this. Jesus presented me to his heart, or pressed me to his heart, and said, "My beloved daughter, you have come to know well the depths of my mercy. I will do what you ask, but unite yourself continually with my agonizing heart and make reparation to my justice." So when we pray for sinners, we have to do reparation also. No? Not just pray for him, then you have to do some mortification, fasting. "Know that you have asked me for a great thing, but I see that this was dictated by your pure love for me. That is why I'm complying with your request." So Jesus is listening when we need to pray. Another paragraph. "Mary, Immaculate Virgin, take me under your special protection and guard the purity of my soul, heart, and body. You are the model and star of my life. Today, I experience a great suffering during the visit of our sisters. I learn of something that hurts me terribly, but I controlled myself so that the sisters didn't notice anything. For some time, the pain was tearing my heart apart, but all that is for the sake of poor sinners." So something happened. You don't know why, what happened. Why is something wrong within yourself? Maybe it's the time to offer. This is a pain of Jesus also. So offer this for sinners. "Oh Jesus, for poor sinners, Jesus, my strength, stay close to me, happy." So at times we don't have the strength. When we have to decide to offer our pain, at times we don't have enough strength to we want to take that thing away. So ask Jesus to come. January 10th, 1937. "I asked the Lord today to give me strength in the morning so that I could go to receive Holy Communion. My sister asks you with all my thirsting heart to give me, if this is according to your holy will, any suffering and weakness that you like. I want to suffer all day and all night. But please, I fervently expect you strengthen me for the one moment when I'm to receive Holy Communion. You see very well, Jesus, that here they do not bring Holy Communion to the sick. So if you do not strengthen me for that moment so that I can go down to the chapel, how can I receive you in the mystery of love? And you know how much my heart longs for you. Oh, my sweet spouse, what's the good of all these reasonings? you know how ardently I desire you, and if you so choose me, if you so choose, you can do this for me. So if you want me to come receive you, help me to come. Nobody bring Holy Communion, even the sisters. I don't know why. On the following morning, I felt as if I were perfectly well. The faintings and the weaknesses ceased. But as soon as I returned from the chapel, all the sufferings and weakness immediately returned. Once in the chapel, everything is perfect. Outside the chapel, my goodness. As if they had been waiting for me. Always pain, huh? The suffering Jesus waiting for us. But I had no fear of them at all, because I had been nourished by the bread of strong, the bread of life. Today's gospel, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I boldly looked at everything, even death itself. I looked straight in the eyes. Not a fear of death. It's most important to keep Jesus in our eye. O Jesus, concealed in the host, my sweet master and faithful friend, how happy my soul is to have such a friend who always keeps me company. I do not feel lonely even though I am in isolation. Jesus host, we know each other. That is enough for me. The Blessed Sacrament. She is longing to come down to the chapel. She could not. She has no strength. You see her heart. And we have all the strength to come to before the Blessed Sacrament, and then we escape as far as possible, go away. Something very important. As if something important. And they keep Jesus alone. January 12, 1937. Today, when the doctor making his rounds came to see me, he somehow didn't like the way I looked. Naturally, I was suffering more, and so my temperature had gone up considerably. Consequently, he decided I must go down for Holy Communion until my temperature dropped to normal. Oh, it's interesting, huh? The doctor asked her to go down and receive Holy Communion until the fever goes away. The only medicine the doctor cannot have much. Consequently, he decided I must go down for Holy Communion until my temperature dropped to normal. I said, all right, although pain seized my heart. But I said I would go only if I had no fever. So he agreed to do that. When the doctor left, I said to the Lord, Jesus, now it is up to you whether I shall go or not. And I didn't think about it anymore. Although the thoughts kept coming to my mind, I'm not to have Jesus. No, that's impossible. And not just once, but for several days, until my temperature drops. But in the evening, I said to the Lord, Jesus, if my communions are pleasing to you, I beg you humbly, granted I have lost 1 degree of fever tomorrow morning. Sorry, I got the wrong idea. She must not go down for Holy Communion unless she has no fever. Sorry, I got wrong. My goodness. I'm too good heart to help. About the thing about the doctors that she cannot have and has to put her Holy Communion. Oh, sorry. In the morning, as I was taking my temperature, I thought to myself, if there is even 1 degree, I will not get up, because that would be contrary to obedience. But when I looked at the thermometer, there wasn't even 1 degree of fever. I jumped to my feet at once and went to Holy Communion. When the doctor came, I told him that I had not even 1 degree of fever, and so had gone to the Holy Communion, he was surprised. I begged him not to make it difficult for me to go to Holy Communion, for it would have an adverse effect on the treatment.
The doctor answered,
"For peace of conscience, at the same time to avoid difficulties for yourself, sister, let us make the following agreement. When the weather is fine and it isn't raining and you feel all right, then sister, please go." Another condition, good timing. "But you must weigh these matters in your conscience. It made me very happy that the doctor was being so considerate for my sake. You see, Jesus, that I have already done whatever was up to me. Now I'm counting on you and I'm quite at peace." You must have a good weather, no? No raining. It's raining. No chance to go down. "I saw Father Andres as he was saying Holy Mass today. Before the elevation, I saw the infant Jesus with his hands spread out, and it was very joyous. Then after a moment, I saw nothing more. I was in my room, and I continued making my thanksgiving. But later on, I thought to myself, why was the infant Jesus so merry? After all, he is not always so merry when I see him. Then I heard this word interiorly, because I'm very much at home in his heart, Father Andres. And I was not at all surprised at this, because I know he loved Jesus very much, Father Andres. My union with the dying is still as close as ever. Oh, how incomprehensible is God's mercy that the Lord allows me, by my unearthly prayer, to come to the aid of dying. I try to be at the side of every dying person whenever I can. Have confidence in God, for he is good and inconceivable. His mercy surpasses our understanding." So Jesus invites us to say the chapter of divine mercy before a dying person or a weak, very sick person. Or even when you visit the sick, say the chapter of divine mercy. Short, easy. You know, you say the rosary, but they are annoyed. No, no, better. It's better, easier. The divine mercy, no? January 14, 1937. "Today, Jesus enters my room wearing a bright robe and girt with a golden belt. His whole figure resplendent with great majesty. He said, 'My daughter, why are you giving it to thoughts of fear? Well, you're afraid.' I answered, 'Oh Lord, do you know why?' And he said, 'Why? This work frightens me to spread the good news of the divine mercy. Frightens me because nobody except, not even the bishop, 100%, no? They say, okay. Even the superior, yeah, okay. Let us see. Not folk, trust. You know that, you know what I'm incapable of carrying out?" And Jesus said, "Why? You see very well that I'm not in good health, that I have no education, that I have no money, that I'm an abyss of misery, that I fear contacts with people. Jesus, I decide only you can release me from this. Leave me alone." That's Jesus. "Leave me alone. Too much. And the Lord said to me, "My daughter, what you have said is true. You are nothing. Incapable. No money. No strength. You are very miserable. And it pleases me to carry out this work of mercy precisely through you, who are nothing but misery itself." You see, accept your misery. There's a condition to be closer to Jesus. You say strong, you don't need him. "Do not fear, I will not leave you alone. Do whatever you can in this matter. I will accomplish everything that is lacking in you. You know what is within your power to do? Do that. Whatever you can, just go ahead. Jesus will complete it. The Lord looked into the depth of my being with great kindness. I thought I would die for joy under that gaze. Funny, eh? When you look at Jesus, so peaceful, but carrying his cross so hard. You may want to just gaze at him, look at him and peace and embrace him, and we don't want to walk along that path to Calvary. The Lord looked into the depths of my being with great kindness. I thought I would die for joy under that gaze. The Lord disappeared, and joy, strength, and power to act remained in my soul. But I was surprised that the Lord did not want to release me, and that he is not changing anything he has once said. And despite all these joys, there is always a shadow of sorrow. Terrible. Physical, spiritual, you know. On one hand, the trust in the Lord. On the other hand, human weakness. And despite all these joys, there is always a shadow of sorrow. I see that love and sorrow go hand in hand. So you say you love your beloved, your relatives, your friends, your husband or your wife, there's always sorrow. Some people, I'm happy, I'm married. Yes. You're married to sorrowful, to sorrow. Not to, well, if the will of God that you get married, there's always joy. But at the same time, they go hand in hand, joy and sorrow. Huh? Partner. Yeah, my goodness. Sorry?
Huh? Sorrow and joy is
in. Yeah. You hand in hand. Tang 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 tang, and you carry your sorrow. Hand in hand, go hand in hand. Is it so true, sister? Even you are religious, you are going hand with Jesus, the suffering Jesus also, eh? Oh, you're not just, you are not free. We're single, we are not free. We are always a partner. Jesus is our partner. And Jesus the one, stay with him. Well, Jesus is kind, but sorrowful sometimes. I rarely have such visions, but I more often commune with the Lord in a more profound manner. My senses deep, and although not in a visible way, all things become more real and clear to me that if I saw them with my eyes. My intellect learns more in one moment than during long years of thinking and meditation, both as regards the essence of God and as regards revealed truth, and also as regards the knowledge of my own misery. Nothing disturbs my union with the Lord. Nothing. Neither conversation with others, nor any duties. Even if I am to go about settling my important matters, this does not disturb me. So you stay with Jesus, even difficult moments, you have the peace. Stay with him. My spirit is with God, and my interior being is filled with God, so I do not look for him outside myself. He, the Lord, penetrates my soul just as a ray from the sun penetrates clear glass. When I was enclosed in my mother's womb, I was not so closely united with her as I am with my Lord. There, it was an unawareness, but here, it is fullness of reality in the consciousness of union. My visions are purely interior, but the more I understand them, the less I'm able to express them in words. So that's the experience of the oneness, the unity with the Lord. You can't express with words. He said that unity, more than in the womb with the mother. You see, with Jesus, with the Lord, with our Creator, our Savior. Oh, how beautiful is the world of the spirit. And so real that by comparison, the exterior life is just a vain illusion and powerlessness. Jesus, give me the strength and wisdom to get through this terrible wilderness, that my heart may bear patiently this longing for you. Oh, my Lord, I always remain in holy amazement when I sense that you are approaching me, you, the Lord of the awesome throne, that you descend to this miserable exile and visit this poor beggar who had nothing but misery. I don't know how to entertain you, my royal prince, but you know that I love you with every beat of my heart. I see how you lower yourself, but nevertheless, your majesty does not diminish in my eyes. So, Jesus, come to us. You can see the splendor of the Lord, your majesty. I know that you love me with the love of a bridegroom, and that is enough for me. Although you are separated by great chasm, for you are the creator and I am your creature. Nevertheless, love alone explains our union. Without it, all is incomprehensible. Only love makes it possible to understand these incomprehensible intimacies with which you visit me. So it's a mystery. How much your union with the Lord is a mystery. How much you get, how much you give. Don't just wait. Oh Jesus, your greatness terrifies me. I will be in constant astonishment and fear if you yourself did not set me at peace. You make me capable of communing with you before each approach. So it's the Jesus one who lead, guide us. January 15, 1937. Sorrow will not express itself in the heart which loves the will of God. My heart, longing for God, feels the whole mystery of exile. I keep going forward bravely, though my feet become wounded, to my homeland, and on the way, I nourish myself on the will of God. It's my foot. Help me, happy inhabitants of the heavenly homeland, so that your system may not falter on the way. Although the desire is fearful, I walk with lifted heart, lifted head, and eyes fixed on the sun. That is to say, by the merciful heart of Jesus, look up. I think also it's a good time. Many times when you're thinking, our head is going down. You look to this thing, yourself. Look up, you look to the Lord with confidence, strength, because our help is only from Jesus. So when you serve in the Mass, stand up straight and keep right. If you got of honor for Jesus, you know, God of honor, all bent down the head, no? You serve the Lord, long in the church. No matter where you go, you serve the Lord. Stay with the Lord. He is your hope. So why you burn, put down your head and just think about what to do and trust. Don't worry. Jesus taught us trust, right? January 19, 1937, my life at present flows on in peaceful awareness of God. My silent soul lives on Him. And this conscious life of God in my soul is for me a source of happiness and strength. So I think physically, she's finishing. But spiritually, conscious of the presence of the Lord. You too, a specific moment in the kitchen, or the marketplace, when you felt alone, nobody understand, misunderstandings. Stay with the Lord. We are miserable, but we are strong, right? I do not look for happiness outside the depths of my soul in which God dwells. Of this I am aware. I feel a certain need to share myself with others. I've discovered a fountain of happiness in my soul, and it is God, oh my God. I see that everything that surrounds me is filled with God, and most of all, my own soul, which is adorned with the grace of God. Already now, I will begin to live on that on which I shall live for all eternity. That means always stay with the Lord, no matter where she goes. Awareness of the presence of the Lord. Awareness to do the will of God. So beautiful, huh? Silence is this powerful language that is reaches the throne of the living God. Silence is his language, though secret, the living and powerful. Silence. The joyful. Don't feel yourself pitiful, because you are with him. Jesus, you have given me to know and understand in what a soul's greatness consists, not in great deep deeds, but in great love. Love has its worth, and it comforts greatness on all our deeds. Although our actions are small and ordinary in themselves, because of love, they become great and powerful before God. Kind of words of Mother Teresa, no? You do great things in small matters. The saints have the same sentiment. I'm not sure if Mother Teresa learned from her, but the saints always the same thinking. Love is a mystery that transforms everything it touches into things beautiful and pleasing to God. The love of God makes us so free. She's like a queen. She knows no lavish compulsion. She sets about everything with great freedom of soul because the love which dwells in her incites her to action. Everything that surrounds her makes her know that only God himself is worthy of her love. Is so in love with God and immersed in him, approaches her duties with the same disposition as she does Holy Communion and carries out the simplest tasks with great care under the loving gaze of God. So no matter big or small. That's exactly the same Mother Teresa told the sisters when she was alive. So in the morning when you go to Mass, you read Holy Communion with so careful attitude. In the noontime, serve the poor the same as you serve Jesus on the table of the Mass. Serve each dying person as you serve Jesus. Because in the morning, early morning, everybody, we serve the communion so fervently, so faithfully, and as if nothing disturbs you, even with the same attitude, spirit towards the poor, the dying person. You see, you too. Whatever you're doing, ask to do in the house, if you do it as if on the table of the Lord. If care, joy, and settling with the Lord. They taught us this, you know. She's not troubled if, after some time, something turns out to be less successful. She remains calm, the soul, I mean. Calm, because at the time of action, she had done what was in her power. So, do whatever you can. You can't do much. Even failure, thank the Lord and go ahead. When it happens that the living presence of God, which she enjoys almost constantly, leaves her, she then tries to continue living in lively faith. At times, we have this peace. And at times you're disturbed. No matter the time disturbed, disturbance, anything, stay with that kind of closeness with the Lord. Her soul understands that there are periods of rest and periods of battle. Through her will, she's always with God. Her soul, like a knight, is well trained in battle. For out from afar, it sees where the foe is hiding and is ready for battle. She knows she's not alone. God is her strength. January 21st, 1937. Since early morning today, I've been wondrously united with the Lord. At the evening, the hospital chaplain visited me. After we had talked for a while, I felt my spirit beginning to immerse itself in God. I began to lose all sense of what was happening around me. I ardently implored Jesus, "Give me the ability to talk." And the Lord granted that I could talk freely with him. But there was a moment when I could not understand what the priest was saying. I heard his words, but it was impossible for me to understand him. And I apologized for not understanding him, although I could hear his voice. The priest talking to her, she heard the voice, but doesn't understand what the priest talking about. This is a moment of grace, union with God, but imperfect, because exteriorly the senses are acting imperfectly too. There is no total immersion in God. That is suspension of the senses, as often happens when one neither sees nor hears anything exteriorly. The whole soul being freely absorbed in God. So she complained that although her heart is in God, but a sense in the world, but half-heartedly. So he could not understand what the priest is saying. The heart is with God. Oh, then. At the same time, he's attending the priest, no? So cannot hear anything. When such a grace visits me, I want to be alone. And I ask Jesus, protect me from the eyes of creatures. I was really very embarrassed before the priest, but I was reassured because he got to know a little of my soul in confession. So you know this guy, always like this. Today the Lord gave me to know in spirit about the covenant of divine mercy. I saw a great spirit in this covenant, but everything was poor and very scanty. Oh my Jesus, you are allowing me to live in spirit with these souls, but perhaps I should never set foot there. But may your name be blessed, and whatever you have intended, may it be done. January 22nd, 1937. Today is Friday. My soul is in a sea of suffering. Sinners have taken everything away from me. But that's all right. I've given everything away for their sake, that they might know that you are good and infinite merciful. I shall be faithful to you, come rain or shine. Today the doctor decided I'm not to go to Mass, but only to Holy Communion. I wanted very much to assist at Mass, but my confessor, in agreement with the doctor, told me to obey. It's God's will, sister, that you should get well, and you must not undertake mortifications of any kind. Be obedient, sister, and God reward you for it. I felt that the confessor's words were Jesus' words, and although it made me sad to miss Holy Mass, during which God had been granting me the grace of seeing the infant Jesus, nevertheless, I placed obedience before everything else. I began a soft in prayer and said my penance. Then I suddenly saw the Lord, who said to me, "My daughter, know that you give me greater glory by single act of obedience than by long prayers and mortification. Oh, how good it is to live under obedience, to live conscious of the fact that everything I do is pleasing to God." January 23rd, 1937. I did not feel like writing today. Then I heard a voice in my soul. My daughter, do not live for yourself, but for souls. Write for their benefit. You know that my will as to your writing has been confirmed many times by your confessors. You know what is pleasing to me, and if you have any doubts about what I'm saying, you also know whom you are to ask. I grant him light to pronounce judgment on my case. So all these words, the spiritual director, the confessor, read through. So don't worry. Everything Jesus to her and through the confessor, make it sure. My eye watches over him, the confessor. My daughter, you are to be like a child toward him, full of simplicity and candor. Put his judgment above all my demands. He will guide you according to my will. If he doesn't allow you to carry out my demands, be at peace. I will not judge you, but the matter will remain between me and him. You are to be obedient. Obedient, eh? For us, is obedient to the will of God. So we have to seek what's the will of God for you. Sometimes you think it's the will of God, might be not. You have the conscience inside, no? You have the light. If you don't know, pray for this. Own thing. Since Jesus doesn't come like Sister Faustina to come to see her so often, but we need to have this simplicity to know the God's will also, no? The will of God. So it's important.